You have survived with me for the fourth week now. This is the last one for a little bit, I guess. And I got news. The message ain't changing much. I don't know how you want to term it, but the idea of don't be a lazy Christian, don't be playing church, don't have religion, have a relationship, however you want to don this idea, you can put it in a whole lot of different words. But I think the ultimate deal is that idea of true worship. And we're not going to change that message at all today. I'm not going to bounce around a whole lot today. He's pretty poignant in what we're trying to get to. And there's no need for a whole lot of bouncing around. But we will be in the book of Romans. And we'll be in chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 1 when we get there. But if you haven't been with us, or you've been gone for a couple of weeks, we've got to get to a point, not just our church, but the church. We've all got to get to this point where we have the idea of true worship, which is this. It's all the time. It's not a Sunday morning, Wednesday night. It's not a matter of what you look like. Matter of fact, the more spiritual heroes you study throughout the book, most of them were weird ducks, right? Most of them looked really different. They rattled the boat. They didn't mind to go against the grain a little bit. And because of that, people didn't like them. But through their struggle and through their seeking after the Spirit, not seeking after worldly religion, not looking like what they were told they were supposed to look like, but rather looking like what God told them to look like, they found their completion. They found peace and they found happiness. The message today is very simple. We've looked at a lot of different angles and we've kind of, like I said, we've bounced around a lot over the last few weeks, but he puts it very plainly today. And I'll be quite upfront with you. When I read this and when I read it and studied it, it amazes me how, I don't know the word I want to use here, how dumb we are. And I say we, I'm included. How, man, when you look at the message and what we're offered, it's so obvious what we should choose. But yet for some reason we miss that. We get distracted or we get greedy or we get whatever, but man, you'll see what I mean. I could go on and on setting this thing up and we wouldn't get anywhere and the potatoes would get cold. So let's pray real quick and we'll jump into this. Father, we thank you for this morning and we thank you for this body of believers and what you've put together here. Lord, we thank you for the freedom and the opportunity that we have to come and worship and grow closer to you. Help us to not take that for granted. Lord, you fill this room with the Spirit. You speak through me, Father. Lord, that you'd touch our lives, each and every one of us, to grow closer to you. Fan that Spirit within us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So Romans chapter 8. And look, there's a lot to get to. And a lot of it says a lot of the same stuff. So I may read big chunks. Please don't fall asleep on me. Definitely don't fall asleep over here because I will call you out over here. Not scared of y'all, except Morgan. She terrifies me. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I could sit here and break this down very verse by verse, and you're welcome to do that on your own time. Paul loves to talk in elaborate fashion at times, and so if you preach on Paul very often, you learn to take it for its message and go with it, okay? So here's what he's saying real plain and simple. He says, I tried this in the Old Testament, letting you live by the law in order to draw you closer to me, in order to draw my people closer to me in a relationship with me, and it failed. I gave you a bunch of laws in order to draw you to me, and you turned them around and made a religion out of it, and your flesh weakened my law. It didn't achieve what it needed to achieve, so I sent Christ. Because you were too weak to do it, I sent you a Savior who came in your likeness, in sinful flesh or the appearance of sinful flesh, to pay that price. Very simply put, okay? I know I'm dumbing this down and, you know, I'm a dumb person. I went to Tarleton, right? And it only took me 6 years to get out. And I don't have a master's. But what he's saying here is it's very simple. He says, look, you by yourself in the flesh can't achieve what you need to achieve. You need the Spirit. And you can't receive the Spirit without coming to me and surrendering your life. It doesn't work that way. We're going to harp on that again here in a minute. But he says, you have to be living according to the flesh, according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Keep that in mind. We're going to move forward, otherwise potatoes will get cold. Verse 5. By the way, I joke a lot. If you're new here, I'm not serious about those potatoes. I don't care anything about them, okay? Those who know me know that I'm fat and I joke about food. Verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, I do want to stop right here for just a second because I do want us to get this. I told you, the more you read this, the more you realize we are very, very challenged. It's so plain. The answer to life, the answer to happiness, right? I'm standing here, I got my tall boots on, so I'm about 5'9" today, right? And I'm not going to tell you what I weigh because that don't matter. That's a secret between me and my bathroom scale. But I'm not real smart, but I do have the secret to life right here, if you want to hear it. It's a life guided by the Holy Spirit through your surrendering to Jesus Christ. That's it. And he says it very plainly. If you're here today and you've got all kinds of questions about your life or questions about your happiness or questions about if you've got a lot of struggle, if you've got a lot of whatever, anxiety, angst, and there's a lot of things going on in today's world that can get you there. Here's your answer. And look, I can sit here all day long and point to it, and he's talking to me too, right? Now, I'm not here to preach down to anybody, but he says it so plainly. If you want the answer to your life, if you want what this idea of true worship is all about, he says the mind governed by the flesh is death. If your life revolves around earthly things and earthly decisions, whether that's money or relationships or whatever, you fill in the blank, but if your desire about anything, even your relationship with God, get this, I want you to hear this, because a fleshly relationship with God is called religion. That's a routine, okay? He's talking about it in that respect too. You can look the part and do everything right you want to do as far as coming to church and looking the part, but if your desire towards God is an earthly, fleshly one, you've missed the boat. Not by intention. You can still be a good person and do all that. But he says, I want true worship. He says, a life governed by the flesh is death. That death is not just death, like one day when you die and they put you in the ground, you know, you don't get to go to heaven, right? We're all eternal. That's not the death he's talking about. The death he's referring to is your life here on earth. A life without the Holy Spirit is a dead one. It's stressful. It hurts, right? This world is imperfect. Jesus says that multiple times throughout his Gospels. He has no reservations telling you that this world, will beat you to the ground if you don't have me. The life governed by the flesh is death. If you're approaching life with an earthly desire and an earthly attitude and you're looking for worldly answers to eternal spiritual questions, it doesn't add up. It doesn't mix. It's like oil and water. But he says the life, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit, catch this, is life, first and foremost. So now all of a sudden, your life has a purpose. Right? Your life is now in tune with the reason that your spirit, your body was created. You were created with an eternal purpose, not a temporary one. But if you're spending your time here on earth living out earthly desires, you're wasting your time and you're leading yourself to death. Whereas he says, if you will get in tune with me and my spirit while you're here, now all of a sudden your life has just that. It has life. It has a purpose. It's here. And then he turns on the flip side, and I want you to hear this. Life and peace. Not life and wealth, not life and, you know, all the blessings you can imagine, not life and you fill in the blank, because those are fleshly things. He says life and peace. Now, you'll have to forgive me because I am not 100% of a Bible scholar, but the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and I don't remember if this book was written while he was in prison or not. But the man writing this book, talking about life of peace in the Spirit, is a man who spent a lot of his time in the ministry in prison. Yet he talked about happiness all the time. He talked about a peace beyond understanding. He talked about happiness and fulfillment and all these things that we love to think about as Christians. We love the idea of being happy. But for some reason, we associate that happiness and that peace with worldly possessions and worldly things that'll make me happy. And he says, no, you don't need any of that, so you need me. A life in the Spirit, or a mind governed by the Spirit, is one of life and peace. He says, I will show you things you didn't know existed, but they won't look like things you expect. Remember, if you look in the book of Hebrews, he talks about faith. And he says in Hebrews 11, at the end of that explanation, he says, knowing that things that came to be were made from things that didn't exist or were unseen. I'm paraphrasing. Essentially what he's saying is, if you truly have faith in God, you understand that he does things beyond what this world can explain. But you don't get that through a religion. You don't get that through coming to church on a Sunday morning and sitting here for 30 minutes and getting out of here. That peace and that happiness and that life only comes from a mind that's governed by the Spirit, that is in constant unison, that is seeking after a relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit all the time, all the time, all the time. Not just for an hour, 2 hours on a Sunday morning. It's all the time. But look, it's so simple. It's so plain, and he says it so many times, but it's so cut and dry. A mind governed by the flesh is death. A mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What more do you need? What more could you ask for? Like, it's so simple. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. If you're living for the flesh, guess what? There's another spirit that's out there, right? There's another force. I don't know how you want to term it, but if you ain't living for one, you're living for the other. And if you look in other areas where he talks in Scripture and he says, if you're not living for the Lord, you're an enemy of God. And so he says, you can't be both. You're either one or the other. And he says, that spirit that's governed by the flesh is hostile to God. You've become an enemy. If you're here and you can be the churchiest person there is. But if your life is governed by the flesh and your mindset and your heart and your desires of your life are after earthly things and worldly things, even if you're a good person, he says, you're hostile to me. You're an enemy of me. It's only the people who truly surrender to that constant worship, that constant relationship with the Holy Spirit. He says, those are the ones I'm after. Verse 8, he says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Hear me when I say this. You can be here as many times as you want to be here. You can look the part. You can try to be the best person that you can be. But if your relationship with God only goes as far as the flesh will allow you, he says, you can't make me happy. We tried that in the Old Testament, and it doesn't work. I made you a better deal. I made you a very simple deal. A life surrendered to me through the Holy Spirit. I'll bring you peace. And you can make me happy. That's who I'm after, right? Verse 9, he says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, I want to, look, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't even say this, but he's writing this to a church, right? He's not writing this to a bunch of non-believers. This is obviously aimed at the church in Rome, and so he's talking to church people when he says these words. He says, you're not in the realm of the flesh. He says, if you're Christians, you're not living in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit. And I think it's not by coincidence that he puts in there, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. He wants to remind them, just being a churchy person does not get you to heaven. He says, if indeed the Spirit lives within you, then you don't live in the worldly, fleshly realm. You live in the spiritual realm if the Spirit dwells within you. I keep harping on that. He keeps harping on it. And I said this, I think I said it last week. I may have said it every week. I don't know. It's all running together on me. I apologize. But listen. My fear is that there's so many misguided and deceived. We talked about that word from the book of James. There's so many people that have been deceived into believing that all it means to be a Christian is to come to church. You got dunked in the water at some point in your life and you're going to heaven. And that is not correct. If you don't believe me and I don't look, don't believe me. Look at the scripture. He says it over and over. This message to the church is nothing new. He's been saying it for so long. So often through the New Testament, he tells us, don't get confused. I'm not after religion. I'm after your heart. I'm after your true worship, not the appearance of worship. He says, don't miss this. He says, if you truly have the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit is in you, then you don't live in the worldly realm. And if anyone does not, this is the latter part of verse 9. He says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. He's saying the same thing again. He says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have me. The mark of a Christian in today's world and in that world after the resurrection and the price paid by Jesus on the cross, the appearance of a Christian, the hallmark, if you will, of a Christian is that Spirit that manifests itself through you. That we've talked about being a doer of Christ, not a talker of Christ or a reader of Christ, but being a Christian means to live a spiritual life, to act on the things that the Spirit moves within you. Don't be a lazy Christian. And he says that's, if you have that, he says, then it dwells. Verse 10, he says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Once again, it's a lot of talking, a lot of words to say this. He says, if Christ is in you, then the Spirit is within you, right? That Holy Spirit is dwelling. If you have surrendered your life and you are 100% on fire seeking after the Lord, trying to fan that spirit daily, he says, then it's dwelling within you. And as it does, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that same spirit that did all the amazing miracles that we read about in the New Testament, he says, that same spirit is within you. And it can't wait to go to work. And because of that, the faults that you still have and will still have, this is not a plea for Christians to become perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to become sinless, because you're not. But the desire within your heart is now after Christ. It's no longer after worldly things. And when you fail, that price is already paid. He goes on and he says in verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. He wants you to understand your obligation isn't to look the part. Your obligation isn't worldly deadlines or worldly appearances or worldly, making other people happy. He says your obligation has nothing to do with your flesh. He says your obligation, the reason you were created, the reason that God wants to have a relationship with you, is so that you can fan that spirit within you and move forward loving Jesus Christ and spreading the word. Living the word. But he says, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. It will fail. We've got to fix our eyes on living spiritual lives. He says in verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. I wanted to get here. I know I've kind of rolled through this stuff, and I want you to see this. He's saying a lot of the same things. I feel like you tuned me out, and I get it. I've taught enough youth kids. I know how that goes. But man, I want us to see this. He says, look, I don't need you. And this is hard to get your mind wrapped around. He doesn't need us as Christians. The kingdom of heaven is going to be there whether you're there or not. He wants you there. Right? Let that soak for a second. He doesn't need you to. It's not like if I don't surrender my life to Christ that all the world's going to come crumbling down. He says, I want you because I created you to be happy. I created you to be peaceful. I created you to have unison with me, which is where true happiness comes from. He says, I don't want your true worship because I'm some egomaniac God. He says, I want your true worship because it's what's best for you. But he says, that only comes through a relationship with me, and you've got to put some effort in. You've got to make up your mind daily to follow me. And he says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received, verse 15, does not make you slaves. There's other places in Scripture where he talks about that Spirit's not timid. Right? That Spirit's not timid. You're not created to be this mild, meek, poor me. Oh, no. You're created, and he says, when you surrender your life and that Spirit's placed in you, he says, all of a sudden you can wake up, jump out of bed, and pound your chest because you can't fail. If you're living for me, he says, you can't fail. You may stumble. The world may look at you and say, boy, what a failure. But he says, through me, in a relationship with me, I will use you how I created you, and you will have peace and you will have happiness through me, but only through me. Religion can't do that, but a relationship can. He says, you weren't created to be slaves to this world. You weren't created to be stressed all the time. You weren't created to be kicked and sour and tired and beat down. The world looks like that. He says, you were placed, there was a spirit placed in you that will not let you look like that. Because you know who you are. You know what you are. And you were adopted into sonship. Remember, I've referenced this multiple times, but he says, you were raised out of that. When you surrendered and the Spirit was placed in you, you were set at the right hand of Christ. You are now right there with him. You're an eternal being. You're no longer subject to the crap this world has to offer, but rather you were made perfect in the eyes of the Creator. Live that. And don't settle for anything less. Strive for this. But it only comes through the Spirit. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. He says that when you live a spiritual life, that Spirit within you joins up with the Spirit in heaven, and you get to go before the Creator and say, I'm yours. I'm free. I'm here. I don't know how else to put it into words. But he says it's got to be a spirit-driven life, not an earthly replica of what he meant for it to be, but a real, true desire to live a life for Jesus Christ and to fan that Spirit within us. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And this is just reminding us over and over and over and over that, listen, he gets it. The world's ugly. The world and Satan has worked on us and worked on and will continue to work on you and work on you to make you think that you're supposed to look a certain way, or that you're supposed to worry about certain things, or that your life's supposed to be a certain thing. But he says, remember and work on your relationship with me. Feed that Spirit within you, and I will remind you daily that you are my child and that you can't fail, and that through me you will find peace in this ugly world that only I can offer. And you'll be reminded daily that you're eternal, but it only comes through true worship. And that has to come from your decision to seek after Jesus Christ and surrendering your life to him and making the effort to live a spiritual life, not a fleshly one. Have I fed the fed horse? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us enough that you sent us your Son. Father, that you sent us the Holy Spirit. Lord, that through surrendering our life to you, that, Lord, we are raised up out of this ugly world, that we no longer have to worry about the sin and the strife that this world offers, but, Lord, we know when we're reminded daily that we've been raised up out of that. So, Father, fan the flame within all of us. Lord, guide and direct us. Strengthen us moving forward to live spirit-driven lives, not fleshly ones. It's in your name we pray. Amen.